Hey, Cameron.
Hey, Chad.
Do you ever think of, like, really dumb genie wishes? I had one today. I was like, you know what would be a fun genie wish is if every time I took a shit, Steve Irwin, like, narrated, like, what the poops look like in his, like, Steve Irwin way. Like, all right, that's crikey. That's a magical little brown snake right there. It's beautiful in its natural habitat. We best not disturb it. But
why should look at that one? Why is shy?
Yeah. I think that would be fun for like three poops, and then I would get really annoyed by it.
I think my mental image of this whole thing is like the best part is just picturing the genie's face while you're describing this.
Yeah. The genie's like, I can get you anything you want. And he's kind of like got that little grin because he's probably going to corrupt it a bit. Because, you know, genie wishes are a little untrustworthy unless you're watching Disney's Aladdin. But we are not doing that because we are real people with real genie wishes. And I know better than to trust. And so,
I forget, did you ever read, what was that book called? With the genie in it?
I feel like there's a lot of possibilities, but probably not.
Who censored Roger Rabbit?
No. I remember you talking about that and I think recommending it.
Yeah, the genie in that was an asshole.
They usually are. I like, because it reminds me of that Robot Chicken sketch where like the guy dies and he's got this book and he can ask it anything he wants. And he's like, how much did I poop? And the angel at the heaven's gate's like, no, you should ask it like, what happened to your family? Or what impact did you leave on Earth? And he's like, if I lined up all my poops into bricks, how big of a wall could I make? And he eventually gets sent to hell and the devil's like, wow, that big a wall, huh? And I like the idea of like you have like access to this unfathomable power and you're like, what's the dumbest way I could use this? But at the same time, it can't backfire.
It's really funny how you thought of that skit because I was literally thinking of that just last night.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, on a VR chat we're playing Truth or Dare and somebody spanned the bottle and it landed on a person and they said truth and so the person said, okay, here's the truth. Who here do you have their biggest crush on? And the person that had to answer the question, like, looked to the right because they were sitting next to their boyfriend, and they're like, him. And then the guy that asked the question was like, I had the most powerful question in the world, and I wasted it. And they just like had this existential, like, oh, I could have asked anything. I already knew that one.
Yeah. I wonder too with like genie wishes because I feel like there are rules where it's like okay you can't like end the universe because that would be bad so you can't wish the universe was ended but if you're like I wish the speed of light was slightly different than what it is now like that would be tantamount to ending the universe because the physics that make up the universe are kind of important and that would be funny. I feel like I could piss a genie off real, but the problem is if like I'm making these joke wishes knowing he won't do them until you say the one he will, and you're like, oh fuck, that I wish I had not said that, and then it comes around to bite you.
Did Beavis and Butthead ever find a genie?
That's a good question. I don't know. I never really watched Beavis and Butthead.
I know they're fairly grounded, but I feel like that would be a fun little adventure to go on.
It's insane. The influence Beavis and Butthead had on music. Like, they made or broke certain bands because the people who wrote that cartoon either made a joke or actually liked the band and were like, yeah, let's do it. Like, that blows my mind. But I guess it kind of doesn't because things go viral or infamous and in totally different ways now, but it still happens on a regular basis. So maybe it just makes sense.
Yeah, Taylor Swift rules. Nah, 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 nah.
Well, there was like the nerdy character in that show. I think really liked Warrant or a band that started with a W, and they made fun of that kid all the time. And like that band became known for that. Like it impacted that band's actual image because these cartoon idiots didn't like them. And that's like really fucking funny. But also like, what are the odds? Like, you're the one band that they decided to just make fun of. They drew out of the hat. I think it was Warren. I need to look this up. What band did Beavis and Butthead? I spelled Butthead wrong. Make fun of all the time. Winger. It was Winger. But then it's like some guy on TikTok drinks ocean spray while he skateboards to a song. And that, you know, 10 million people see that. And all of a sudden that song sees this huge spike and listens on Spotify. And, you know, it's like, oh, what are the odds, right? Like, maybe that was a genie wish.
Okay. This is Opinions to Sheep with Cameron and Chad. And we have to break this very important news I just found out about.
Uh-oh.
New Happy Meals. New Happy Meal toys.
Oh, you can get Yu-Gi-Oh! for the girls and Hello Kitty for the boys?
No, it's Yu-Gi-Oh! And Hello Kitty for everyone.
Oh, I just made the picture bigger. Look at a little Dark Magician girl Hello Kitty. That's fucking adorable.
Isn't it?
I like that. That made me happy. I'm going to send this to Alex, because Alex likes Yu-Gi-Oh! We'll see if he responds before the show is over. We can get his hot take in real time. Who is this for? Is Yu-Gi-Oh! Still popular, like, with kids? Or is this, like, McDonald's trying to get 30-somethings to come buy Happy Meals?
No, I think Yu-Gi-Oh! Still popular with kids.
Okay.
Maybe not to the extent that it was, but I do think it still is.
Because I saw a thing. I don't think I brought this up last week, but, like, one of the complaints that this guy on YouTube had about Lego is that when he goes to the store, there are more adult-oriented Lego sets than there are sets for children.
That was me. Like, I was complaining about that.
And it's like, that's weird. It's strange that, like, toy companies are like, you know, we can make more money selling to adults than kids, even though we make toys. And then I look at my bookshelf and I see the toys and I have a $100 Nerf gun in my basement that I painted. And it's like, no, it works. It really fucking works. I am part of the problem.
Well, it's also, I don't think that kids even appreciate toys, though. Like, it's not just that you do, but it's specifically that kids don't.
Maybe. I don't know what it's like to be a kid right now. I know Bluey's really popular. And certain, like, there's always the new, like, skateboard thing, hoverboard, whatever. When I was a kid, it was like, man, skateboards and rollerblades, and now it's scooters and other stuff, and it changes. It's fundamentally the same, but it's different. Like, everything gets repackaged.
I'm developing a theory that one of the problems is that kids right now, they want new things faster. So, like, the idea of investing in a toy is like a waste because they'll get bored of it within a day. Versus, like, you look at iPhone games where there's like 1,000 new games per day and they can play new iPhone games every day while streaming TikTok videos, and they watch like 5,000 TikTok videos an hour at the same time. And so the idea of, like, do you want to sit down and play with a Barbie for half an hour? And it's like, that's the most grueling half hour to focus on one thing at a time. And their brains aren't built for that anymore, because they've been, like, trained to get this weird, like, addiction kick to new stimulus, new stimulus, new stimulus.
It even as an adult, it can be hard to put the phone down. I know I've talked about this before.
Oh, yeah. As an adult, I think with you and me, like, our age, I think we have a certain amount of context of life before the internet.
Yeah.
And, like, before streaming, and, like, there was, like, two or three channels that had TV shows we were interested in, and we had to pick one and deal with whatever was on at that moment.
Yeah.
And now there's, like, an entire library of all cartoons that have ever been made ever, and you get to pick whichever thing you want to watch ever, whenever mm-hmm. you want. And it's, like, this library is completely different, because I remember, like, when I went to Grandma's house, she had, like, three Disney movies that we didn't have at home. So it's like, oh, okay, this is my chance to watch Beauty and the Beast if I want to. And I have to watch it before we go home if I want to, or I'm going to have to wait till next month. And that's not a thought that crosses any child's mind now, because now children can watch Beauty and the Beast on the way home in the car.
Right. Well, you know what's funny is I had, like, the opposite of that this week, where There are a bunch of movies I want to watch. I've bitched about Redbox being shit now. Like, Redbox doesn't update. There's no money in it, so it's not getting new movies. I have access to Disney Plus because my parents pay for it. We have Hulu through our phone, but Hulu is limited, and most of the movies have ads, and I don't want to watch a movie with ads. And so it's like, okay, these are the movies I want to watch. Well, they're scattered to the winds. Some of them are on Netflix. Some of them are on Amazon Prime. One of them might be on Peacock, for all I know. And I'm at Target, killing time before I gotta go get my hair cut. And I see Oppenheimer for like $22 on Blu-ray. And it's like the only copy there. And the Blu-ray section of Target, by the way, no longer very impressive. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I want to see this movie. It's by a director I like. It got a lot of accolades. It won awards. It's at the very least going to be good. It might not be great, but it'll be good. I'm just going to buy it. I will own this movie. And then if I ever want to watch it again, I can pull it out. I haven't watched it yet. We're saving it for the weekend. And I'm like, I got a list of movies I really want to see. And I don't want to hunt for them because I don't want to have to subscribe to 6 different streaming networks to watch one movie a week. Like, it's not worth my money. And they don't even stay on the streaming networks forever anymore. They come and go every month. It's fucking annoying. It's like, I'll just go on Amazon and buy like 4 or 5 movies. Or go to Deaf Ear and get them used if I can find them there. And so I might go to Deaf Ear tomorrow and just like buy movies. It's like, oh, here, I really want to see Asteroid City again. I want to see the Northman. I never got around to that. But I like the director. I want to see The Lighthouse because I like the director. Even though The Witch was kind of bad. Fight me.
Oh, that reminds me. Did you want to watch Jodorowsky's Dune?
I have that. I think you bought that for me.
Oh, did you? Okay. That's good.
Oh, that bourbon hit the fucking back of my throat real wrong. Woo! I actually brought that up the other day. I keep meaning to lend that to my neighbor because he likes sci-fi and it's like, you would love this. And I've been telling him I would do that for like 3 years and I still haven't.
That's a must see for any sci-fi fan because there's just a weird kind of context that it provides to the Hollywood scene.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm pretty sure you bought that for me.
Okay. I mean, it's one of the things where I feel like you would appreciate it. So I believe that I would have bought that for you. That's the wrong page. Sometimes I leave tabs open so I can like reference them later. And then it's like, wait. The tabs I needed are all gone, and I don't know why these are open.
Genie wish.
Oh, genies. If I was a genie, I wouldn't stay in a lamp. I'd stay in a house like a normal person. Come on, guys.
You know what would be a fun genie wish? Is be like, hey, instead of being in a lamp, you have to live in a fleshlight. You could be so mean to genies.
Well, I wonder, like, what... Like, I guess sometimes genies are, like, rewritten in different stories. So it's hard to say exactly how the genie rules work. Do you prefer when genies are, like, evil intentionally?
I think there's something kind of fun about you have access to power through magic, but it's inherently unreliable, so you have to be very careful with how you use it. I think that adds a tension to it that I do like. But my favorite genie movie is still probably Disney's Aladdin, and I obviously really like that. Robin Williams as a genie is great. And he's not evil. He's just fun. So it goes both ways. I want to say there's a djinn in What We Do in the Shadows, and he gives Nandor like a ton of wishes. And ultimately is pretty good about him, you know, is they're like, okay, we got to be really careful with these. And he's like, guys, I'm not really here to like fuck you over. But then like one of the last couple, the wish is worded just weird enough where they can get fucked over. And he's like, boom, did it. And then leaves. And that's funny. All three of these like examples, though, are like doing very different things with their parameters, trying, you know, different story types. So it kind of depends on the story, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I like there are interesting stories with genies. I was looking at I've been playing Pathfinder lately, and D&D has it too, where there's like a genie thing as like a monster, where it's like you can encounter a genie. And I kind of like don't like that in a D&D sort of setting. Actually, let me look it up in Pathfinder. I'm curious if they even have, like, wishes, or if it's just, like, a type of spirit.
I would not trust a genie in D&D. Mostly because I wouldn't trust a dungeon master. I don't know if I want, like, that kind of rule-free, easy shit if I'm doing something like D&D. Like, working for things and being rewarded is that's the mechanics.
Yeah, but, you know, there are, There are other things where it's like you there's like magic wishes. Like there's a spell, I think, that's just called wish.
Oh.
That like a wizard can learn.
I would love, if I had like an actual genie wish, I would want to wish for like, I want a magic glass that whatever I put in, it never runs out. But then I have like the ability to change what that thing is. I think that would be cool, and it would be hard for it to backfire until the glass got knocked over and just spilled forever, and technically you could, like, flood your entire house with a, you know, red solo cup, which would be bad.
It's interesting. I'm having trouble finding, like, what defines a genie in Pathfinder's setting. Because they seem to be spirits from an elemental plane, so it's like there's different kinds of genies, but they're tied to different kinds of elements.
Oh, that's interesting. I kind of like
that. Yes. So there's like, Jenny, spelled with a D, and those are like the air ones, but there's like water ones and gem ones. But it's like, I don't see anything particularly about them like granting wishes right off the top of the head here. But you can also have an ancestry where, like, your great-great-grandfather, like, fucked a genie, so you can technically summon air power.
Oh, cool.
Which is kind of fun.
I think, when I was reading the comic 8 Billion Genies, I think I talked about that on and off on the show, but the thesis for that is that once the world got 8 billion people in it, everybody got a genie and one wish. And, then chaos ensued, and largely the world got really chaotic. A lot of people died because people were either wishing for really selfish things or for very destructive things. There were some rules, but they were pretty easily bent. And that was a really fun comic until like the last issue, where it kept doing like these time skips. So it'd be like the first 8 minutes, the first 8 hours, the first 8 days, the first 8 years. And then it was like the first 80 years. And I think maybe the first 800 years. No, I think it was just 80. But, like, there's huge time skip happens, and it really fucks to me with, like, the pacing of it and the payoff. Ultimately, it was a really cool comic if you like the journey more than the destination. But it got really clever, and I think the idea of, like, everybody gets a genie wish, just the inherent nonsense that would occur. Because you got people like, oh, I wish that wishes did not work in my house, and that I could not be affected by other wishes. And it's like, that's a good wish. And other people would be like, I want a car that can spit bombs. And they're like, oh, okay, here you go. Have fun. They're like, well, I'm glad that guy can't destroy my house now.
Oh, I like that comic where there's like a magic wishing well. And the guy walks up to it and he puts a quarter in, and then magically next to him, like the woman of his dreams appears, and he takes her hand, and they're walking down the hill together, and they're super happy. And then he looks behind him, and there's a bunch of guys, but they're all walking off with like sexy anime monster girls. And then he looks at his wife and he's like disappointed.
Is this our genie episode? Did we accidentally get a topic? I don't know if I can talk about genies for another 40 minutes.
I don't know either. Do you want to talk about something else?
Did I ever talk about my New Year's resolution on the show, like, at all?
You might have, but I don't remember it, because I frankly just don't care.
Well, there we go. Now we're on the same page. It has been 3 months. My resolution, I wanted to work out every morning for 20 minutes, except the weekends. And so for 3 months, I've been doing that. And for, you know, 20 minutes, not a lot. Manageable. I'm seeing some results. Like, I got some muscles on my arms now. My cardio's gotten better. It's kind of cool. Like, you don't have to do a lot to make progress, which is really nice. I feel like every time I had tried to start doing something like this before, like, the idea was like, well, my friend goes to the gym for a couple hours, so I guess, you know, I gotta really go hard in, I gotta do multiple things a day, get these big workouts in, and then you do it like twice and you're like, well, fuck this shit, this sucks. Piecemeal, little things. Highly recommended. I feel less guilty about some of the junk food I eat, which is nice. I guess I don't have a lot to say about this other than it's just like, hey, it worked. I guess I'm going to keep doing this. Like, I have off tomorrow. I'm still probably going to jump on the exercise bike in the morning because it's Friday and that's what I do on Friday. And I've been watching YouTube videos, which is fun.
Okay, I found it. So Pathfinder genies do grant wishes, but it's only like noble genies. And it kind of feels a little contrived, like it's built in there intentionally just because that's like what you might expect from the word genie.
Okay.
So now we know. Okay, so next subject. What's your favorite game? What's your favorite video game, Chad?
Oh, Conker's Bad Fur Day.
No, it's Overwatch.
No, it's not.
And what's your favorite intellectual property? What's your favorite pastime? What are you always loving to talk about, Chad?
Is it Overwatch?
No, it's Marvel.
Wait, what weird things are being combined now?
Marvel and Overwatch.
Why?
So there's this new Marvel game, and everybody's like, oh, cool, they ruined Overwatch, but someone else is just going to make old Overwatch, where it's 6v6 and looks like fun.
Oh, so this has nothing to do with Blizzard.
Yes.
I'm watching the trailer.
I don't like that it's third person, but I really like the art direction because it's very like cartoony.
Oh, this is kind of cool. Okay, actually, this is neat. Honestly, I haven't played a good third person shooter in ages, so I kind of like that it is third. Like, I feel like this fills a void in gaming.
And it's doing the same thing Overwatch does, where there's, like, obnoxious superpowers. Like, you can just freeze everybody in front of you. Or, you know, teleport across the whole map.
Also, there's so many Marvel characters, and it's fun to, like, see which ones are in it.
Yeah. Some of these seem like obvious picks. Rocket Raccoon looks like fun, because you just run around shooting. You can climb walls. It's like, okay, yeah, it makes sense. But then, like, at the end, they tease more characters that we haven't seen gameplay of yet. But one of them's like Storm, and I'm immediately like, I love Storm. And so as soon as I saw her, I was like, yes! And then like, oh, Doctor Strange, you can make portals and travel through the portals. And I say, okay, yes, I'm sold. I'm happy. There's melee characters.
Yeah.
There's sexy Galactus for some reason.
Who is Luna Snow?
I don't know.
I've never seen her before.
I was hoping you might know.
My guess is it's either a really old obscure character or a new one I don't know about.
So yeah, I was curious what you took from that. I'm not like necessarily excited about it, but it doesn't look bad and it's free. So it's like I'll probably end up trying it.
I could see trying that. That actually looked kind of fun. So I'm on Luna Snow's Wikipedia page. This is fucking weird. Seol Hee is must be the character's name. It's a superhero appearing in American comic books published by Marvel, created by writer Greg Pak, an artist, whatever. First appeared in Future Fight in 2018, so it's a new character. She is a superhero of South Korean origin. She is a K-pop idol who possesses ice-based superpowers. She is known to under the stage name Luna and the code name Luna Snow. But then it goes back to like the 2010s. Oh no, I guess 2018 is in the 2010s. What? Whatever. It's weird that she's a K-pop character. Like a. I want to say Overwatch did that, and I know League of Legends did that. And it feels very transparent.
I mean, it's Marvel, though.
I suppose. It just like with when the trends get so noticeable, they're like, wow, it seems like a lot of big properties are doing the same thing. Maybe the void has been filled. Maybe the K-pop stans don't actually care about Marvel, or if they do, they're fine having it be a separate thing. More genie wishes.
I guess. Oh, actually, so there's your genie wish. What intellectual property would you like to turn into an Overwatch clone?
Ooh, that's a good question. What property would I?
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, that'd be interesting. I think Pokemon would be a good one.
Did you ever play that Pokemon MOBA?
No.
Okay.
I take back my answer. My issue is, okay, here, the genie wish of this is that, like, oh, we made a Pokemon Overwatch clone. And then it'll be, like, 90% Pokemon I fucking don't know or don't like. And I'm like, oh, well, that sucks. I'm not going to play that. Sonic. Let's go Sonic.
Okay. Okay, I can picture that.
There's actually enough side characters in Sonic where I think that could work.
Yeah. Now, if you wanted to, you could force a roster into that. Especially if you allow, like, robot characters, too, and bad guys.
I think you'd have to. I think it would be fun because you could have, like, Knuckles. Like, either side could pick Knuckles because he's been on the good guy side and the bad guy side. And maybe even, like, Shadow as well. I think that would be fun. And then you'd have Robotnik, and you'd have Rouge, and you'd have the duck that would show Dr. Starlight. He was pretty cool. Any of the more iconic robots. Like, yeah, you'd have a decent roster just on Robotnik's side, and then Sonic's would be easy to fill.
Now, mine, I think I'm a little too close to Overwatch when I say this, but G.I. Joe.
Hmm.
Why aren't there good G.I. Joe games?
That's a good question. I mean, G.I. Joe's a huge property. It's got a really, like, iconic roster of stuff.
We've had multiple Transformers games.
And some of them are even, like, good.
Yeah, I'm confused that, like, we'll get one G.I. Joe game and it's the worst thing ever made. And they'll say, I guess kids today don't want G.I. Joe on the Xbox. Let's try Never Again.
Oh, Aliens vs. Predator would upset.
As a hero shooter?
It would make me really happy because it would piss so many people off. Like, this is my troll answer. But also, I want to play another Aliens vs. Predator game, Cameron. I miss them.
Yeah. But I want a good Aliens vs. Predator. I feel like there's better ways to execute it than, like, a Overwatch clone.
Well, it's a genie wish.
What about Team Fortress 3?
Oh, that'd be... I can't see that ever happening. I feel like there will never be another Team Fortress thing. Did they even update Team Fortress 2?
Yeah, they got an update last month.
Holy shit.
Maybe. What was, let me see. Latest Team Fortress 2 update. I'm sorry, that was October of last year.
That's still, like, way more recent than I would have guessed. I would have guessed, like, 6 years ago.
Okay, how about... We're talking about Hero Shooter. How about... no, I just had it. It was,
Dungeons and Dragons.
No. Oh, you know what? I could picture that. That would kind of be neat. If you could pick, like, different kinds of wizards and stuff. Like, imagine you have your bard and you're, like, running, buffing the whole party, and then you have your Legolas guy running on the walls.
Yeah. I think that would be
fun. That could be fun. I want this to be a genie wish that won't work out because it's objectively bad. So I'm going to say Star Trek.
I don't see Star Trek working as a hero shooter. I think it would be funny, though. It's another one that they would end, like, hey, we're going to do a new Star Trek game. People get excited. It's going to be a hero shooter. And then just people are immediately not excited anymore.
It'll be a battle pass. You have to get your Kelvin timeline battle pass this fall. Guys, we're shutting down the servers. So we don't know what happened.
Oh, what about Foam Stars?
Oh, Foam Stars themed Overwatch clone.
Yeah, yeah, I think that would be pretty cool.
Like a spin-off, a Foamstar spin-off. Oh, that would be great.
The episode that you titled Foamstars actually did decently well on listens, and I'm just like, fucking why?
Well, I think because I tagged it with what we actually talked about, which is more like Helldivers, but...
That made me laugh, though, when I was like scrolling through to find our new episode, because I always like to see what they're named.
I try to keep the names funny, but honestly, sometimes you send me really good names, and it's like, I can't top that one.
Trying to think of what else to talk about.
I'm going to open ChatGPT, because it worked out last time. So, okay, ChatGPT. What should we talk about on our stupid podcast that no one listens to? The first recommendation is niche interests. And then the second recommendation is unusual histories.
I feel like we've covered niche interests in a roundabout way. I don't know what it means by unusual histories.
Okay, now let's get into unusual histories. So, did I ever show you that story about that goblin attack?
I don't think so.
I have to get the name of the incident. Cryptid. The Hopkinsville Goblins.
Kind of like the name of that.
Let me do a proper... I bet there's a website that has this. So, there we go. Oh, that's cool. You made a podcast free thinking image on AI.com.
I love how some of these words are words and some of them are not. And one looks like a mashup of history and arithmetic, and it's just historimic. Historimic. There's culture and science and list and podcast. Technology spelled right, and so is self-improvement. Yacht Sachs. I don't know what Yacht Sachs is. And then Ermrug. This lady in the corner wants to talk about Ermrug. Hanlingwinging.
So the Hopkinsville goblin attack is a very fun, spooky story.
Okay.
It was a weird incident. Some people say that it's like a cryptid thing. Like this is like a mini Bigfoot situation, and then other people say that it was like aliens, like little green men. But the story is there's this house in the middle of nowhere, and they start hearing weird noises, and it's like something's trying to get into the house, and it's like all over, and they see a little green man, so they like shoot at it with a shotgun, and it's like this weird, like they're under attack where there's a bunch of little green men and they're all trying to break into the house, and it is like a nightmare. And it's this very weird incident where it's kind of like they could be making it up, but it's the sort of thing that these people didn't necessarily be known for making stuff up. And it's like there's odd inconsistencies that kind of point both ways to like, why would they do this to their own house? Because there's like actual property damage. But also, like, what are they talking about? This is stupid. It's like simultaneously.
Okay.
So there's your unusual history topic.
I guess if they're starting to shoot at all the little green men and there's lots of them, I would expect there to be blood from the little green men left over. Like, if nothing else, you would have hit one of them and it would have bled. I guess unless they don't bleed, but I feel like there would be debris, you know? There'd be something. I wonder if they accidentally did drugs.
I think it would be very funny if they, like, if they shot a goblin and they had the goblin there and it was like objective proof where it's like, we got attacked by goblins. Look, we have one. But this happened in like 2024. And it's like, we proved there's goblins. I got attacked by goblins. And it's like, that's still like, you know, page 83 of the newspaper, because it's like, we got other shit going on right now. We just don't care.
Honestly, that to me is a great framework for a short story where the guy rushes in, the journalist, he's like, I got a story, this is going to be great, we got definitive proof that goblins are real. And, you know, as battling with the editors on which page to get it on the newspaper, or like where to get it on the website. It's like, yeah, we can probably run it on the main banner, but only for like 10 minutes because there's this big like State of the Union address coming up and that's got to take over. And then we have to do like 12 opinion pieces on that from everybody so we can get maximized clicks from all audiences. And then we have to post at least one video about dogs because, you know, they got to have that feel-good story. It's like, yeah, but I got like a dead goblin right here. And it's like, well, I mean, this isn't like a tabloid thing. We're a proper newspaper. And he's like holding up the severed head of this goblin that is clearly real and bleeding and it's gross and smells bad. And I think there's a way to do that. You know what? That also sounds like something L. Ron Hubbard would have written.
Yeah. But like, also, you saw that Mothman expert, right? That commented on Twitter.
No.
Are you familiar with Mothman?
Mm-hmm. He's a big old man, and he looks like a moth.
But do you know the story?
I feel like I've heard it, but if you asked me to regurgitate it like a, you know, bird given its young food, I couldn't.
Well, the idea is that he kind of shows up as like a warning before something bad happens.
Oh, and really?
Most famously, it was before a massive bridge collapse.
Hey, we just had one of those. Did someone see Mothman?
Well, yeah. So we just had one of those. And so this guy on Twitter comments, and he has a picture of the bridge. This is Igor Petrov. He says, "I have studied Mothman since I came to U.S. in 1993. The Baltimore, Maryland bridge incident was a man-made incident, nothing to do with Mothman."
I love that so much. That is so stupid. And I hate
it. It's just, no one asked. Thank you.
I hate what it represents. Why can't you fuckers on Twitter just be normal? At the same time, goddamn, is this funny? Oh, that's good. Imagine if that man devoted his time to something
someone
useful.
Someone else checked. And the most recent Mothman sighting was a 5-hour drive from the bridge collapse, so it could have been Mothman.
Oh.
And bear in mind, I'm on Twitter doing a search for the word Mothman. The other image that came up is this very sexy picture of Gwen Stacy. Or no, Gwen, Spider-Gwen. No, that's Gwen Stacy.
That's not Mothman, that's Spider-Gwen.
Yeah, I don't know why that's there.
I'm glad I'm not into cryptids. I feel like I would have a lot less self-respect if I was.
Wow. Thanks.
That one's for you, Sable. Dude. Remember our good friend Sable? I haven't seen Sable in a while. I hope he's doing okay.
Why haven't you seen Sable in a while?
Because he hasn't been on freaking VR chat.
We're on VR chat the other day.
I wasn't.
You weren't.
Yeah, it's my fault.
That's right. No, we were hanging out.
That's good. Everything is right with the world.
Yeah, he moved into a new place now. And not to say too much, but he has a lot of rant to say about hippies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Speaking of hippies, my aunt and uncle came over the other last week. We hung out. That was fun. They're kind of hippies. It was weird, like, they wanted to know what we've been up to, and they hadn't been in my house in a long time, so they got to see some of the artworks and the things that I've updated, and, you know, I played them some music we're working on and other stuff, and I always get so weird about sharing things, because part of me wants a lot of people to see my stuff, and the other part of me is like, no, this is embarrassing. No one should know you do anything. And I've been grappling with that for like a decade now. It has not gone away.
I'm sorry for the low energy. I'm getting over a pretty nasty cold. I couldn't talk last week. I couldn't talk last weekend. I'm at like 60% today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's just that season, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been pretty low energy this week too. I haven't done like, normally I get home and I want to like do vocal practice and there's things I want to do. And lately it's been like, what if I took a nap or just watch shit on YouTube? And that's been fun. And obviously I've been drinking a little bit more because I'm like preparing for my month of sobriety by apparently drinking too much. But even now, like I'm sipping on some whiskey and it's making me really lazy. I'm just like, boy, I just want to sip on this and not do anything. And that is not the energy that I'm supposed to bring to a podcast.
No, but, you know, we also do this for fun, and I'm not going to hold that against you.
Well, I appreciate that.
I mean, if we're collecting money, if we were selling a product, then I would hold it against you. Do better.
I just, like, nothing really interesting happened this week, either. Like, I don't have a lot to talk about. Like, I went to Target, and that was, like, a highlight, and I got my hair cut, and, like, I don't know. The older you get, kind of the more boring you get. Like, you have to, like, really try, I think, to not be boring, which is weird, right?
No. I think that as you age, you sometimes also appreciate the quiet moments, and there's nothing wrong with decompressing, especially when you carry a lot in your mind.
Yeah, I feel like some of the things that have made me happy or excited too are just like really small. And it's like I could have like a podcast of just like Glad Space stuff. Just like, here's all the night things. Like Winter Sun's putting out new music and he's drop feeding like stuff from his old demos, and it's fun to listen to, like, oh, here's like 19-year-old Yari playing black metal, and it sounds kind of shitty, but that's because it's black metal and he's a kid. And you know what, though? He's a pretty good guitarist yet. Like, that guy got really good at guitar real fast, and I'm so excited to just have more music from this guy, because I haven't had any since, like, 2014 or 2016. I don't know. It's been a while. That's awesome. And just, you know, just little things, but no one gives a fuck about that.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with the... with enjoying that, though. We could also like just have a shorter show. I feel like we chatted a bit.
I guess we could, if it, you know, we don't have to bleed this out for another 13 minutes, especially if you're not feeling well.
This isn't like really worth a Glad Space, but I've been listening to this song like all week because it was on Fortnite. But are you familiar with Olivia Rodrigo?
Yes,
I love that vampire song.
It's really good.
It's really good.
I'll have you know.
I've been getting really good at it on Fortnite.
When that album came out, Jean-Luc, Emily, and I, and I think Alex too, we did a Warrior Chats on it.
Oh, wait, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did I miss that? That's weird.
I'm pretty sure I'm not making that up. That I want to say that happened.
No, you could have.
But yeah, that song's really good. That's definitely one of her better songs too. That album's actually kind of a fun listen. Most of it's not like that. But she has some pretty good like kind of rock songs and pop punk songs on there, and like, you know, a decent amount of ballads. I recommend giving it a go, just for shits and giggles. The production's really good because it's, you know, a stadium selling artist. I can't imagine being like a stadium selling artist at under like 21. I think she's like 20 or 21. She's really young and just having that much fame.
I feel bad sometimes for people that succeed too hard, because some people do it well, but I feel like there's no matter how talented you are, there's always an element of luck, and that can go to your head.
Yeah.
And I feel really bad for people, like, anybody that's, like, under 30 that becomes this popular. It's like, yeah, how are you going to feel when you're 60? Because some people do it and some people don't pull it off.
Okay. There's an artist I've been listening to recently called Maggie Lindemann. And she does kind of, she started off as pop punk, apparently. Her new stuff's a bit more, like, proper rock. There's some slight metal influences in there. It's pretty good music. She's a good singer. She's very pretty, and all of her, like, kind of, like, current music videos, she doesn't have, like, proper ones. She's got, like, those vibey ones with lyrics, and it's just, like, her kind of wandering around looking pretty, and then the camera follows her. They're horrible. They're really, really bad. But she's got a song called 24, I think, and it's kind of ostensibly, like, I don't know, just feeling weird being 24, which is fine. I wonder if I can find the lyrics to it, because I remember it just like striking me as like, it's like, you're so young. What are you? Feels like my time is wasting. Can't catch the dreams I'm chasing. My thoughts are turning so hateful. Maybe I'm a little unstable. It's like, hon, this video has like 50,000 views, and it's farther in the album. The other ones did a lot better views on this. She's worried about turning 30.
It's funny too, because like with this, it has a nice sound to it. Like, it really does.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm reading the words, and it's like, oh, this is, like, obnoxious, because I've heard people on VR chat say this.
It's like, everybody is lost at 24. That is the point of being 24. And I know, like, it's been 11 years since I've been 24, so there's a lot of wisdom coming from this, but it's okay. And also, you have, like, your own business, because she's an indie artist. She has to fund and do all of this stuff herself. She's, like, been dating a like, basketball player, like, you know, professional athlete. Like, if you're lost at 24, think of Think of the people working like really shitty jobs they hate because they don't know how to pay off their student loans and they can't afford a house or to live. Like, it feels very weird hearing these kind of lyrics from someone who, to my mind, has like made it and is doing better than I am, 11 years younger than me. But
yeah, I think that I what I hate about it is like when you're 15 and you're turning 16, like part of being a stupid teenager is kind of feeling like you're the first person to ever go through any of this.
Yes.
And part of growing up is realizing that you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird when there's like 30-year-olds who are like turning 31 and they're like, I'm going to choose to be in denial and just keep saying I'm 29. And it's like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah. I think Olivia Rodrigo and like maybe Billie Eilish too, because she also got like really big, really young. Like, I think they had a little more self-awareness about some of that. But I don't know for sure. I've never listened to like all of their stuff or watched all their interviews. And like, getting old is always going to be a very difficult, like kind of intimately scary thing you do with yourself. Like, it's just going to happen. And so I can't fault her for like feeling this way. It's just socioeconomically, we're in very different positions. And it's like, really, you're upset it's about being 24. But then like Taylor Swift wrote a lot of songs about being young, or like, you know, she has a song called 22, more of a party song. But it is kind of, I think, common maybe for pop singers to do this and just kind of vent about their age or realize they are getting older and things are changing and they don't know what's going to happen next. And it's funny to be like, welcome to the club, and I shouldn't feel so snobby about it, but I don't know. I don't have a $10,000 watch.
Oh, you know what? We did push it to the 50-minute mark. We could just do a normal glad space now.
I wish we had started with this. I feel like this is like actual substance. This is the genie wish. We find our topic at the 50-minute mark.
When the show's over. I like, if I wrote a spooky story about wishes, I prefer like the monkey paw thing. Oh, yeah. You know what's a fun movie, though? Have you ever seen Wish Upon?
No.
It's like, it's that premise of the, like, the genie wish, the monkey paw, like, you wish for something, but then something bad happens. But it's, like, nonsensical. Where it's like, it doesn't make sense. Mm. There's no correlation or anything. There's no rules.
I kind of like that, it's like, I'm just like, okay, it's a genie, and he's like, you know, there's always going to be a negative to my wishes, so you got to be careful. And someone's like, I wish for $10,000. You can't screw that up, because there's not enough money to, like, corrupt me, but it's not so little money that I'll be sad about it. And he's like, okay, here's your $10,000. And then just, like, a car runs the guy over, and he's like, ha, I got you. And all the other genies are like, bro, that's not how it works. You're supposed to, like, drop the money on his head and like, now he's got to go to the hospital and a $10,000 hospital bill. You don't run him over with a car.
I feel like that would be a Family Guy bit. It's like, hey, this is like the time I was a genie. And then someone say, I wish I had $1 million. And Peter gives him like $1 million. And then he just like hits him with a baseball bat and then takes $1 million back. It's like, now I have $1 million.
That would be a Family Guy bit. Oh, God.
And then it cuts to the outside exterior of Drunken Clamp.
I like our genie episode. We did a genie episode, Cameron, and it's fucking stupid. Oh, this show's fun. you got a glad space?
Yeah, so you know my jam. I like you love Marvel and Overwatch, but what do I love? Dead online 3D chat rooms.
Go on.
This guy, I found this YouTube channel called Redline. But Line has a Y in it. And he's been doing this series called Exploring Dead Games, where he just like logs into like Second Life equivalents. Honestly, Chad, this is up your alley. Like, you'll enjoy doing this with your exercise tomorrow morning.
Ooh. This does look kind of fun.
Pretty much everything on this guy's channel is kind of interesting, but it's like, this series in particular, like, he opens with this thing called Active Worlds, and it's a lot like Second Life, but it's like, you can make a little 3D space, And it's kind of like a time capsule because it's just basically abandoned. There's a part where he goes to this one place and it's clearly like it's supposed to be a shopping mall kind of aesthetic. And there's ads up. But like one of the ads is for Amazon back when Amazon was a bookstore. And it's like surreal standing in this metaverse thing where like Amazon didn't rule the world.
Back in the day. I'm surprised these games are still up. Like who's hosting the servers? Oh, yeah. Where like money's involved to keep these up somehow. Like even if it's not a lot of money.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is that like, I appreciate someone going through and kind of cataloging some of these experiences because like some of it, it's confusing because he logs into this one and he's walking around and it's very weird. But at one point he like turns around and there's another person that was online and following him. And he just kind of saw this person behind him staring at him and it like spooks him because it's like, what? And it's almost like even though it's an online chat room, like anybody could log in, but somehow it felt like this weird personal thing where it's like, what are you doing here? And it's this like experience that it's like, yeah, people still kind of like visit these graveyards. He's not the only one doing it as a novelty.
Sure. Excuse me. That is funny. The way you said that reminded me of The Rolling Giant, where he's like exploring this like dead mall of a video game and then there's something following him. And I'm not going to lie, that probably freaked me out too if I was playing that game. Like, what the fuck? Why is someone else here? Like, this is weird. Are you going... Am I now in a creepypasta? Like, are you going to haunt me?
Yeah. There's another game he plays called Blockland that's kind of like Roblox. And there's this one... Like, he does a search for, like, dead maps. And there's one that has exactly one person on it. And it's, a racing game. So it's like, oh, wow, this guy must really like this racing game if he's logging into Blockland just to sit here and idle by himself. And so he logs in and plays with the guy. And so it's just like, this guy's probably having the best weekend of his life because it's been months since someone else logged in to play Blockland Racing.
Yeah, that's wild.
Like, it's just like, I want to know what that guy's experience was on the other side of the screen. I've spent a lot of time on actually like more than one system that this guy explores. In one of these episodes, he does do some Second Life ones that are interesting. And I love seeing what people make, the weird shrines to their dead friends, the weird tributes to internet arguments that are perceived to be victories in the great civil war of their era. Like, it's just very interesting time capsules. And I really recommend the Exploring Dead Games series on YouTube by Redline.
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely have to check this stuff out. This looks really fun. My glad space is that so my cat has been off and on having litter box issues again. He's going in that little paint tray in the corner. And I got worried. And so I was like, I'm going to get another urine sample to the vet, make sure he's not having kidney issues or his, you know, crystals aren't coming back and all that stuff. And I said that. And then he went 4 days without having an issue. And then this morning he does. So I get a sample to the vet and I get a call. And it turns out he's fine. His urinary tract is totally healthy. His kidneys seem fine. Like, they could do further work if I gave him some blood. But I'm like, if you're thinking he's fine, he's probably fine. Well, I'll keep going. And so largely, he's just a little asshole. But I'm happy my cat's okay. Like, the expensive food is working. It's doing its job. And good. He's healthy. He's just a piece of shit. He's scratching at my door right now, which is weird because I gave him food, like, not that long ago. I think he's just bored. It's like, play with the other cat. That's why there's two of you.
Do you read Litterbox comics?
When they show up in my Facebook feed.
I guess you might not seek them out. You're not really like a kids person.
They're usually pretty cute. I mean, I like the aesthetic, but it's just sort of, I don't seek it. It's when it shows up, I will enjoy.
She did one the other day. I thought was kind of funny.
374, look at that. That makes sense, though. Like, the art style to this is really good, and the jokes are usually pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a nice little two panel. I like how the dad is drawn.
I like pretty much all the character designs. I love background characters, like weird one-off characters you only see in like shopping centers or something.
Didn't they, I want to say like they had the person who does this had a job in some creative industry and then started doing this. Maybe as a COVID thing. I can't remember. I feel like there was like a story to how this one started.
She's been doing this for a very long time.
Oh, I could be wrong. I mean, I probably am. It sounds like I am.
I don't know.
Jesus, 63.1 million views on her webtoons thing. That's nuts. But only 1,300 people on Patreon, which is probably a lot.
You know, sometimes I wonder. Like, I'll see Patreons for things, like a YouTube channel. And it's like, not that they don't deserve money for the work that they do, but I'll watch their video and my first thought isn't like, I want to pay you $10 a month. Sometimes it is, but usually it's not.
Yeah. I'm currently, like, it's funny too with Patreon and YouTube channels, because like some of the channels I watch a lot and really like they already have huge subscribers and it's like, oh, you don't need another like couple bucks a month. Like you're doing pretty well. I should find something a little smaller that will actually appreciate, you know, the $2 or whatever. So it's kind of funny that it's like, you can get so big where like, I don't feel the need to subscribe. Like I'm not helping out a starving artist at that point. I'm just like adding more money to the fire.
Oh, speaking of, I was at 7-Eleven and they had Mr. Beast chocolate and I was really tempted. That's the story.
There you go. That's a good story.
The genie's curse has struck again.
No!
This is the worst podcast we've ever done.
It now is with my friend Cameron.
Yay.
Yay. Should we say goodbye to the people?
Yay.
Remember, kids, you too can wish upon a magic lamp and a star and other things. They won't come true, but you can do it.
I think that would be kind of funny is if you had like a magic lamp that you wished on. And then it's like grandma finds out that lamp was magic this whole time. And she's like, wow, that's great.
I mean, I could have brought Harold back from the dead. Oh, grandma, he didn't want to come back. Oh, that Harold. I don't know what the fuck's going on anymore, Cameron.
We're gonna end on that note.
Okay.